like, once again, it's such a blessing to be here this evening, and thank you for having this conference this week and including some of us visiting pastors in on it. It's been, I know I can speak for the other gentlemen, the men I've got to meet this week. Some of them have had to leave already. Some of them are still here tonight, but I know it's been an absolute thrill and a blessing to our hearts to be here and to our families. So I want to thank the church here. Thank you so much for your care for us, all your preparation, your work, and you just taking such good care of us. You spoiled us big time, and I appreciate that very much. Fruit basket and all that kind of stuff in the room, and snack, not just fruit, but other processed foods and sweets and snacks. God makes it good, and sometimes we like it when man manipulates it a little bit too, right? So it was all good stuff, and thank you so much for all that. Philippians chapter 3 is where we want to be tonight. Philippians chapter number 3, 1223, of course, in your pew Bible. We're going to be looking at let's just look at verse number 12, I guess, for the moment, even though we'll get to look at some other verses here in this wonderful passage. I'm thankful for these graduates tonight. That's a blessing. Pastor Steve there in the back, Pastor Keith, my buddy Kevin, who came from Texas, and I know Pastor Mike believes this too. These graduates right here on these front rows, they know more than a bunch of pastors I know. I'm not trying to be mean, I'm just being honest, okay? And that's actually sad, but it's funny at the same time, but I'm thankful for y'all, I'm thankful for what's been invested in y'all, and I'm thankful for what you're doing right now and what you're going to do in the future. God's got great plans, and I'm so thankful for that. We're all winning players on a winning team. That'd make a great message, amen? All right, team players on a winning team, and I'm thankful for y'all. I'm thankful for the Pastor Mikes I've got to be with this week, amen? And one of you might have known about because he preached to you twice this week. The other one you might not have known about till tonight. But for Mike and Cheryl, that's been a blessing because I did not know them before I got here. Whether we'd been in the same place at the same time, that might have happened in our past, but we never got to know each other. I got to hear him preach twice this week, be around his family. That's been a blessing to me. So I want to thank y'all, and thank you, Dan, for making that happen. And then Mike and Kathy got to spend time with them this morning, and my wife did, and that's special. That was very special to us. Philippians chapter 3. Let's look at verse number 12. I'm just going to jump in, okay? And we'll after we jump in, we'll look around after we get there, okay? Philippians chapter 3, verse number 12, the Bible says, Paul speaking to this church at Philippi, these believers in Christ Jesus, Paul writing from prison, okay? Philippians 3, 12, not as though I had already attained, because he was talking about that in the previous verse. Either were already perfect, but I follow after. Now this is an incredible statement right here, and I want to draw our attention to it for a few minutes together this evening. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Can I read that again? You see that conditional word if there? Now, I know a lot of folks that are, what would we say, not as mature as they should be in the Word of God, might try and read your salvation from sin back into this passage, and that is not what Paul's talking about. This is advanced truth. It's not kindergarten, okay? He's not taking them back to kindergarten to teach them their ABCs again or their colors. He's way over here in Bible Institute, amen? All right, Bible Institute. He's way over here teaching them what they have in Christ Jesus, not just today, which what a blessing that is, and everybody needs to understand that, but he's talking to them about their future, their eternity in Christ Jesus. And so there is a conditional if. Because what I do from my salvation, at the moment that God saved me by his wonderful grace, our salvation, forgiveness of sin in the Lord Jesus Christ, after that moment of faith, but for the rest of your life that God gives you down here on earth, it does make a difference how you live for eternity. It makes a difference in eternity. And we said that the other night. So he goes back to verse number 12. Look at it again, that word if. He says, but I follow after, comma, if that I may apprehend that. We're going to talk about that tonight. For which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now that's good stuff right there. You understand, and we're going to talk about this ministry and what a blessing it is to be a part of ministry. It's an opportunity tonight. We're going to see in this passage, and we could have went to other places, but what a blessing it is right here, an opportunity to gain eternal reward. We're not just living for today, and thank God that we can do some practical things that are helpful, and we can be kind to somebody, we can smile at somebody, we can share truth with somebody, we might invite them to church, all those good things that we can do, and that's good just as far as just being a nice person and a good person. That's all good. But there's even more in view than just being nice to somebody or smiling at somebody or speaking a kind word to somebody. There's eternity in view. Once you're in Christ Jesus, you're not just living for your earthly life, you're living for your eternal life. We're not supposed to anymore. It's hard for us because what we see and what we hear and what we touch and taste and all those things, what we feel of, that's real important to us. That's what we deal with every day. But you know, the Bible tells us in Christ Jesus, after we're saved, we're not to mind earthly things. Now we've been raised up. We've been called out and brought up for this high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So now we're living above our humanity in Christ Jesus. So let's talk about that just for a second tonight. He says, I follow after that, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. So let's look at number one tonight here in our booklet. The first thing we're going to look at, number one, if you are in Christ Jesus, if you're saved, you have been apprehended. You have been apprehended. You ever thought about how that, I know Brother Dan, he's a baseball fan, and I'm a baseball fan. You know, they don't put the cameras on it when you're watching a game on TV, but if you have a fan and he's been taken out to the ball game, but he's had more than peanuts and Cracker Jacks, more than a foot-long hot dog or whatever it is, ballpark Frank, he's had more, and all of a sudden he's not thinking the same way in the eighth inning that he was thinking in the first inning. No wonder is he a clear-thinking individual, and all of a sudden that you might have the security guard. He looks this way, and he's laughing at something the mascot's doing, and boy, this guy takes off for the field. He sees his opening. He takes off, and all of a sudden he's gonna steal second base. He's gonna see what center field feels like underneath his feet, and he's running, and all of a sudden here comes this security guy out of nowhere. And just clotheslines them. Boom, I mean, maybe it's a groundskeeper with a rake or something. But anyway, the crowd's cheering. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, the guy gets taken out. Guess what they do? They apprehend that fellow. Yeah, they have a grasp on him. They take him, and his liberty, he don't have any liberty for a while. There's a legal process that he has to go through. He's been apprehended for a purpose to be detained until he can post bail or whatever else has to happen, or until he sobers up and all the other things that happen. Do you understand that in Christ Jesus, God has apprehended you not just for the glory of your salvation? Thank God for our forgiveness of sin. Thank God that no longer am I going to face the consequence of sin. No longer am I going to bust hell wide open because that's what my flesh and myself really deserves. But now God has saved me. He's wiped my slate clean, but he's apprehended me for a purpose, an eternal purpose. He has a hold of me. He's grasping me with both hands because he has a job for me for all eternity. The Bible says you've been apprehended. If you're saved, you're apprehended. The definition of the word apprehend is to take hold of, to grasp. You've been taken hold of in Christ Jesus. Aren't you thankful for your salvation? Think about that passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 21. It says, for he hath made him, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be sin for us. And we're all in that us. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That we that are in Christ Jesus, that have been forgiven of sin, have been apprehended in Christ Jesus, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Is there a book around here somewhere? I'm not going to use my Bible for this, but it's almost like this, and I'm going to quickly say this. It's like if this book was titled The Life and Times of Stephen Carter, and it had everything documented that I've done from the get-go till now, and I'm 40 years old, and you're not allowed to read it, by the way, okay? And it has everything documented about who I am, and by the way, in my flesh dwelt no good thing. I'm not impressed with me. I want to be impressive tonight and make a good impression for folks, as I preach. I want to be a help to you. But I know the truth. I'm not impressive at all. There's nothing here in this book would tell you all about it, and it'd be a sad story about a sad fella who could have done better, but he didn't do good enough. But you understand that God knows the whole story. He don't have to read a book about it. He don't have to ask you. He don't have to ask my mom or my wife or anybody or my kids or anybody else. He already knows the whole story. There's nothing hid from God. And even though he knows the real me and knew what I was as a sinner and as a man of flesh, as a person of the flesh, he took me and he scratched out the title. And instead of saying the life and times of Stephen Carter, he put the life and times of Jesus Christ. And all my sin and transgressions and disappointments and failures and flaws were charged to Christ Jesus on the cross of Calvary. You know what else he did? He took another book. I'll use this one for that. And it said the life and times of Jesus Christ. It would tell you about how he went about doing good. How he never went to a funeral. He didn't break up. Never met a fella that he didn't reach out to and didn't love. And all the good that Jesus Christ did. And he knew no sin. He was found yet without sin. He did nothing but the things which please the Father, the Bible says. And even Pilate, even government examined him, said, I find no fault in him. And all that great record of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he scratched that name out and put my name on top of it. And that's the doctrine of imputation right there. My sins have been charged to Christ's account. And Christ's righteousness has been placed on my account. What a blessing that is. That's what it means to be apprehended in Christ Jesus. And God grabbed us and grasped us for a reason. Not just for the glory of salvation. And thank God for the redemption of mankind. I'm so thankful for salvation. Yet he has an eternal purpose for us. An eternal purpose for us. He's apprehended us. For a reason, you no longer belong to Satan. Like we said the other night, that verse in Colossians 1:13 that's listed in our notes, no longer are we in that kingdom and that power of darkness. No longer is the little g god of this world our god anymore. No longer is the prince of the power of the air our prince anymore. Now God has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. He's apprehended us, and he has a reason, and he has a future, and he has a vocation for us. In Christ Jesus. So that's what we want to look at next. Not only have we been apprehended, but because Christ has apprehended us, we have an opportunity to attain. To attain. Now the word attain is simple. It means to reach. It means to achieve, accomplish. There's folks sitting in front of us here tonight in these front rows that have accomplished something. 3 years of biblical studies. What a blessing that is. And by the way, think about all the people that have invested in these folks in the last however many years. See, we're celebrating tonight because we're on the same team, right? This crossroad, here's the crossroads team tonight that's assembled here together. You're celebrating tonight because of the victory of some of you, of what these folks have done. We're celebrating together their accomplishment. Because why? Because we're on the same team. And when they have a victory, we all celebrate the touchdown. Amen? And they might get to spike the football, but we're going to clap in the stands, right? We're going to say, yeah, go team, go. So what a blessing it is to think about it that way. Because Christ has apprehended us, now we have an opportunity set before us. That's what Paul said in verse number 12. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of in Christ Jesus. So now we have an opportunity to attain. I didn't know if I was going to go to this passage tonight, but I hope this is I'll trust the Holy Spirit of God to lead and guide you and be your teacher tonight. Can we look at one passage in Revelation chapter 12 real quick? I want to show you some practical things of what is really going to happen. It's going to, in the culmination of things, in the consummation of things, in this culmination book of prophecy and the revelation, you got in Revelation chapter number 12, verse number 7, something that's yet future that's going to happen. Someone might ask, well, okay, we've been saved. We've been forgiven of sin. Our eternal destination is now fixed in Christ Jesus. So what do we have an opportunity to gain that we haven't already gained? We're not going to hell. Now we're going to heaven. Well, that's not even what Paul's really speaking of right now. He's not just talking about in general. He's talking about specifically believers serving the Lord Jesus Christ every day because they have an opportunity to attain something, to obtain something. Well, what does the Bible teach that we get to gain? Now, let me just show you something real quick. Verse number 7 of the Revelation and chapter number 12, verse number 7. The Bible says, and there was war in heaven. Michael, we know him, the archangel, and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was there, the dragon and his angels, place found any more in heaven. Now, if there's any question about who the dragon is, we just move our thumb and keep reading, and the Bible always answers the questions for us. Verse number 9, and the great dragon was cast out. Who is he? That old serpent. Oh, I heard about him way back in the first few chapters of Genesis. That old serpent called the devil, capital D. I've heard about that fella. And Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Look at, think about it this way. The Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians that there's principalities and powers. Colossians 1, Ephesians 1 talks about thrones, dominions, visible and invisible. There's places of power and might. It's that second heaven where the spiritual wickedness in high places is trying to pull the strings of the puppets down here on earth, so to speak. It's the spiritual wickedness in high places. That's why y'all have learned, and Brother Shannon, I know you've preached on this before. I've listened to that before when you've preached on it. We don't actually wrestle against flesh and blood down here. We don't. What do we wrestle against? Spiritual wickedness in high places. That is the warfare that we are engaged in as believers day in and day out. Well, the Bible says here that the positions of rank and authority that were formerly held by Satan and his angels are now vacant at this time, this future time. They're vacant. So Satan's rebellion back in eternity past, where he gathered to himself the high-ranking positions and thrones and dominions of what we call the heavenly realm or the angelic realm, after the end result of the events of Revelation 12, there will be a leadership vacancy in the higher levels of the heavenly places. Now, Ephesians 1:23 tells us that God takes us in Christ Jesus that are His body, members of His body, the church, which is His body. And it talks about how God takes that, the fullness of Christ that filleth all in all. Do you understand that the Bible tells us that the vacancies in the heavenly places will be filled by the body of Christ? You understand that when God saved you, He had a future reign and rule and position in mind for you. That's why He set a race before you, and He says, run that race with faith, because I have something for you to obtain in the future. That's why when you get to the judgment seat of Christ, you can either suffer loss or you can receive gain, receive reward. Not you're going to lose your salvation like so many people that are once again trying to go back to kindergarten and not figuring out what the Bible says. No. Your salvation's not on trial that day. Your life of service after your salvation is what's being reckoned and taken into account on that day. Do you see that you have something before you? Eternity? A position in Christ? He has something in mind. And Paul says, I've been apprehended, and I want to apprehend that for which Christ apprehended me for. He saved me for a purpose. He saved me for a reason. He saved me for all my tomorrows, for eternity yet to come. And He has a position in mind for me. I want to live the right way down here. I want to serve the Lord. I want to follow His word. I want to walk by faith and not by sight, so I can attain that for which He has placed before me. If you're in Christ Jesus, you've been apprehended. Because Christ has apprehended us, we have an opportunity to attain, to achieve what God has in mind for us. You understand the way that we obtain this eternal reward is by following the Lord today. Once again, you know how it is, that mindset of a young person or an immature person, well, one day when I grow up, I'm going to do this. And one day when I grow up, I'm going to do that. You know, sometimes we get saved and we think, well, one day I'm going to do this for the Lord. And one day I'm going to do that for the Lord. Do you understand that God says today is the day? Amen. That we need to do it today. That we need to trust God today. We need to walk by faith today and do those things for God today. The Bible tells us that we can obtain eternal reward by following the Lord Jesus Christ today. Now look at verse 13, because I've hardly read any of these verses, and they're all worth reading, of course. Verse 13, he says, Brethren, he's speaking in the present. He's in prison writing to them. He says, I count not myself to have apprehended. He had more to do. But this one thing I do, if I am to apprehend, this is what's in mind, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. So obtaining this eternal reward, following the Lord today, includes two things in verse 13. It includes forgetting. We're just human people, aren't we? We were talking about the other day, Brother Clinton, and in our session, Brother Dan, in the morning session, we're just grown-up kids, are we not? That's all we are. We're just kids that have been around for a while. That's really what, if you peel that onion enough, you're not offended if I call you an onion, right? If you peel this onion enough, let's say it that way. If you peel this onion enough, you just find a kid there. And sometimes we actually are immature on the inside, and the past, the things that have happened to us, the things that we've done or the things people have done to us really holds us back in the present. It really affects us. That's why Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind. Why would I keep bringing those things with me when they're behind me? He says, I got to leave the past where it's at. It's in the past. Quit making it a part of your present. Quit making it where it affects your future. No, it was yesterday. Quit trying to bring it into your tomorrows. Forgetting those things which are behind. Following the Lord today, obtaining this eternal reward, the things that God has in mind for us to do today because of the position He has in mind for us in eternity yet to come, includes forgetting, and it includes reaching. Reaching. That's achieving something. Like we're celebrating the achievement of these folks on the front row tonight. Well, that didn't just happen. They didn't start last week and they achieved it this week. No, that happened quite a few yesterdays ago. 3 years worth of studies ago, and now here they are tonight, the culmination of the thing, the achievement, the goal that has been attained. So we can't, you know, we have to forget the things in the past, and we have to start working towards reaching towards the goals that God gives us in the future. So forgetting and reaching, what does Colossians 3:1 say? Set your affections on things above, not on the things of the earth. So living every day, even though you're still on earth, even though you're in this earthly body, living with eternity in view. Living with, not minding earthly things, but living with heaven in view. Well, verse 13 says, forgetting and reaching. Verse number 15, look at it. Let's look at verse 14. I can't skip it. He says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I think sometimes we think, oh, that calling is a high calling because it came from on high. Well, sure it did. But you actually understand that our eternity is a high calling. It's high. It's not an earthly. It's not a low. It's not a base existence. We're talking about a super high, exalted existence in eternity because Christ is high and lifted up. He is seated at the right hand of the throne of all creation, and all things are under His feet. And we have taken that position in Him for all eternity, the fullness that filleth all in all. And there's so much more I could say. Of course, I'm going to try and hurry about that. But verse 14 talks about the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And look at verse 15. He says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect. What would that mean? As many of us that have gotten saved that want to live our life right now so that we can apprehend and we can attain what God has in mind for us, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. This is the mind we should have, this eternal mindset, understanding what we have in Christ Jesus and what is before us in Christ Jesus. So we have this right mind of Christ. Philippians chapter 2 talks about the mind of Christ. There's other places that speak of the mind in Christ. Being a servant, all of us that get up and act like we're kings, you got preachers that act so silly, and they will not be pat on the back for it at the judgment seat of Christ one day. I promise you that. On our great presentation day, and by the way, Brother Pastor Mike, you used a passage last night in 2 Corinthians 4. I never saw the presentation day in that passage also, but I saw it last night, we have a day where we're presented before God at our gathering together unto Him, what we call the rapture. He judges the quick at that time, and we have that opportunity to be before God, and He's going to try our works after our salvation. He's going to, whether we suffer loss or whether we gain eternal reward, and He's going to examine us, and have we been a servant? Have we been about His business? Have we been a good steward of the mysteries of God? He's given us something and He wanted us to give it to somebody else. all that's going to be in light that day. Not whether or not we acted tough, or not whether we acted like we were a big shot, not whether we acted like we were King David in the Old Testament or King Solomon or something like that. No, he's going to judge our works and our motivations and our heart. All that's in view on that day. That's why we should have the mind of Christ today. Humility, a servant's attitude, the right attitude before the Lord as we live that out. And look at verse 17. I'm trying to hurry a little bit. Verse 17, it's not my fault the Holy Spirit put all this in there. There's so much that we could talk about. My dad often said, I didn't write it, and I didn't write it either. So verse number 17, brethren, here's a way to obtain this eternal reward. Here's the way to follow the Lord today. Brethren, be followers together of me and mark them. Take note of those that walk so, as ye have us for an ensample. Well, you know, one of the ways to follow the Lord today is to follow the body of doctrine, the revelation given to our apostle for this age, the Apostle Paul. This includes obtaining this eternal reward, following the Lord today, includes following the Apostle Paul, the apostle of this age. He's not an egomaniac. He's not pretending to be something when he's nothing. He's talking about what God had told him to do. He was the spokesman. He was the means by which God got this information out, the resurrected Lord from heaven. And he says, follow me and the others. Use them for an ensample. That's a large sample size there. Use them for an ensample of how to follow the Lord today, how to preach His Word, what to preach, the Word of God rightly divided, explaining to folks who they are in Christ Jesus and what Christ has accomplished for them. He goes, follow me. And that's just where the tire meets the road of how we're supposed to follow the Lord today and obtain that eternal reward that He's put before us. There's a high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This calling, yes, it comes from on high. But this verse and this passage actually speaks to our future eternal reward, our job, our vocation in the heavenly places. Let me give you an illustration, and I'm finished pretty much. I say pretty much just in case, but I want to tell the truth. Amen. Brother Rich, I think that one of the books you recommended the other day, yesterday when we had our one of our sessions with the pastors, I read this several years ago in that book, an illustration of a Civil War soldier. He was given a letter by his closest friend as his closest friend was dying on the battlefield, wounded, mortally wounded and dying on the battlefield. He'd been there for his friend all along the way, supported him, saved his life a few times, but he was dying on the battlefield. His friend gave him this letter, and he told him, he says, after the war is over, if you need any help, or I know you don't have much family, I know you don't have much prospects for the future, he goes, I'm going to give you a letter, and I want you to deliver this letter to my father. And if you need any help, or if you're going through hard times, I want my father to help you. Well, as the war did eventually end, and as this young man did have nowhere to go, and no one was able to help him. He had no one to go to, and he finally did find himself kind of, I guess you could say, at the end of his road, and he did look this young man's father up. This young man's father was not just a regular fella, but he was a very successful businessman. Basically the head of a huge industry up north. And this man who didn't look like much, he brought this letter, and through a chain of events that letter finally got to the boss, to the owner of this great company. And after he received the letter, he brought that young man in, an important businessman. He took this young man in and he read that letter before him, and it said, my son told me that you were there with him all the way, and that you helped him, and that you were the dearest friend that he had through this whole terrible situation, and that you were there even at the time when he died on the battlefield. And he wants me to treat you like I would have treated him if he'd have came home whole from the war. So this important businessman took that young man and treated him like his own son. Oh, he trained him. He took time with him. He invested in him. He put him in different parts of the business and parts of his company and taught him things, gave him an overall understanding of what was being accomplished and what the big picture of things were. He promoted this young man. He began to promote this young man above other men that had been with the company for many years. Imagine those other men as they saw this young man who came from nothing, came from nowhere, had no name, had nothing to his name, and he was brought in above them. And outranked them eventually and became their boss eventually. And they wondered at that. Why would something like that happen? Do you understand in Christ Jesus, even though we're just men, even though we're just made out of the same mud and we're just the sons of Adam in our physical earthly sense, do you understand that even though we are made a little lower than the angels, that one day God's going to exalt us above that whole angelic realm, the Bible says? You understand that he says all things are under Christ's feet, and because we're in Christ Jesus and we're joint heirs with him and we have an inheritance of the saints in Christ Jesus, that one day, oh, it's not like we're going to be the mayor of Daytona. I guess that's prestigious. I understand that. But no, we're going to be seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're going to be the fullness that filleth all in all. We're going to have these thrones and dominions and these principalities that God gives us in Christ Jesus as his whole creation is reconciled back to himself as the heavenlies. As the heavenlies is the seat of the church in eternity yet to come. Can you think about the angels? Oh, let's see that one beneath them has been brought above them. Oh, made a little lower than the angels, but now we're not lower than the angels anymore. In Christ Jesus, we're above all things. We're seated high above all things. You have an eternity in Christ Jesus that would blow your mind. We're not able humanly to grasp everything we have in Christ Jesus, but thank God his word speaks to how good it is, the unsearchable riches of his grace. We get to spend eternity trying to search them out. They're unsearchable. We get to look anyway. Amen. Romans 11:33, the Bible says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, his decisions, and his ways past finding out. Do you realize who you are in Christ Jesus? Do you realize the opportunity you have to gain eternal reward? You know how you do that? Ministry right now. Ministry right now. Serving the Lord today. Following the Lord today. This eternal word, it fadeth not away, like we said the other night. So everything we do based upon the eternal word of God will not fade away on our judgment day. It will not burn up on our presentation day. We'll have a good judgment seat of Christ if what we do is based on God's eternal word. It will last forever. Forever, Lord, thy word is settled in heaven.